They're very musical people, aren't they?
Testing.
Testing. Welcome back to the Trading Places Minute.
Testing.
This is the show where we discuss the film Trading Places 1 minute at a time. My name is Tom Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my good friends, one of whom is Mike DiMaria. Hello, Mike.
Hello. This minute has one of my favorite lines.
Yes, I think we can all agree that it has one of the best lines.
Yeah.
Dan Lewis likes this line, too. Hello, Dan.
I do. I laughed out loud watching the minute just now when that line was said.
It's a special kind of charm to that
line. Isn't it?
We'll get there in a minute. This is minute 31 that we're talking about, and it begins with Billy Ray enjoying the bubbles of the jacuzzi, and it ends with him having a hard time accepting that this is his home and his belongings.
Right.
There is one, before we even get into this minute, I realized that there was a little detail that we didn't cover last minute that I thought was interesting.
Let's do the cleanup.
Since we last recorded, I should note that we've had actual Thanksgiving, and I went home for Thanksgiving, and I watched this whole movie with my family, and so a lot of little things came up here and there. And one of the things that I noticed in the previous minute was that he keeps introducing himself as Billy Ray, and the Dukes insist on calling him William. They will not call, like, even if you say, hey, I'm Billy Ray, they say, yes, William. Like, they refuse to call him anything but William.
Yeah, what's so big
about
that?
That's interesting.
It's not big, but it's just interesting.
Well, I think it's interesting because there could be two plausible I see two plausible reasons for that. One is that they're, like, going, like, nah, this isn't going to work unless we really do it, and we can't have him going around being Billy Ray.
Right.
Or the other one is just that they're just so crusty and white and that they just can't. They don't want to call him Billy Ray out of just like pure stubborn crustiness.
Yeah.
Which one do you think it is, Tommy?
I think that they could go hand in hand. I mean, it could be like the crusty racism, just white attitude could just be like, oh, well, no. Billy Ray is not going to run our company. You know, you're William now. You know, forget this Billy Ray garbage. You're in a suit.
I think that's what it is because the writers made this decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Sure.
There are probably other things that came up during that viewing of Caddyshack. Oh, there was one. We'll get to this minute in a second. Did I say Caddyshack? Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Caddyshack, Blues Brothers.
It was years ago,
same
Tom.
It was, but I can't let it go. I like that movie. I like this movie, too. I was watching this with my sister, who loves this movie.
Oh, my God. Are we getting to it?
Let's go. It's always like I went home for Thanksgiving
she's lay out
and it was,
the
lake was placid.
Jesus. It's like, oh.
Get the story out.
I was sitting watching this movie that I've seen 100,000 times.
It is her comment. It is her comment that I have to
say my sister,
report on.
My sister
oh, my God.
It,
and I got to sit there and I'm sure the fire was roaring and one of the cousins are on the floor like
you
this.
You don't want to know about the dog at my feet? You don't want to know about the sweater I was wearing?
God in heaven.
The guy that tells the joke, the street joke where he's like, the guy goes to the farmer's house and he's really tired. He's been walking all day. And it's all going to be about the farmer's three daughters. Just go right to the farmer's three daughters.
Don't stick your dick in these holes. Go.
I was
my God.
All right, Tommy, get to the point.
All right, I shared with my sister. I'm going to be as concise as if you're going to shave information off of this, I don't know where you're going to cut it off. Mike made the comment, I think it was Mike, when they're in the car. And one of my favorite lines, Billy Ray is like, oh, that's like Randy Jackson from the Jackson 5. And he's like, yes, I suppose so. And Mike, you made the comment that reaction was based on, oh, no, if he's going to be calling me, making Jackson 5 references, maybe this isn't the right guy. Maybe we're never going to, this is not the guy to run our company, almost like calling him William instead of Billy Ray. And my sister was like, no, that's complete nonsense. The whole reason, the whole point of that joke is he's like, oh, this guy just equated me with a black guy, and that does not sit well with me. That's what Randolph is saying.
Right.
Yeah. I happen to agree more with Mike. I think my sister's a huge idiot.
Just keep your sister out of it. All right. That's what I would say.
Okay, fair enough. She's mad that she hasn't been a guest on the show yet.
Tell us everyone you watched it with.
We were doing a puzzle.
It was Thanksgiving.
My sister tried to get a Thanksgiving-themed puzzle for Thanksgiving, but Amazon didn't work out right, so we had to get a Christmas-themed one, and that worked out great. It was a nice puzzle. It's our tradition to do a puzzle as we're like watching these things and hanging out and stuff. I had already done the edges, all the edges. I found almost all – usually when I do that, you know, you go through first and you find the edge pieces.
Email right now. I got my other screen open.
I know. I'm thinking about
usually what happens though is I'll miss at least one edge piece. So you're like, okay, is this the entire top of the thing? Or okay, well, okay, this is the opposite side, so I know what the width of the puzzle. So there's a gap in here somewhere. So we're kind of working on that as this is going on, just to paint you a picture in the background. All right, minute 31.
What did that have 31. To do with anything?
Cool puzzle story, bro.
Yeah. Thank you, bro. Yeah.
Just painting that's a picture. Like, he literally wanted to paint that rock of that Norman Rockwell painting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like on these neighborhoods that you live in, their Facebook groups where they put, oh, so-and-so has this for sale, that for sale. People pop on there. I just read one this morning, like, oh, I decided to park my car at my summer home in Wisconsin. Do you think I need to get another sticker for it? It's like you just want to post that you have a house in Wisconsin.
Ugh.
I'm going to Bruce Springsteen at Wrigley Field. Do you think I can bring my purse? Or will security not let me bring it in? It's okay. Yeah, you're going to see Bruce Springsteen. You're funny. Cool. Your story, if I could
my summer purse or my winter
if I could
purse.
Draw a visualization of those two stories you just told me, it's that thing behind you right now, the squiggly line that there's no beginning or end.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Cool. That's the Mobius strip of a story that fucking just taught Tom's life.
It's like a family circus map.
If I could draw a picture of his story, I wouldn't.
I think this minute is
and
gone.
Fuck Norman Rockwell and the.
Any excitement I brought in to talk about this minute is gone now.
Oh, come on! How about this? How about going down a non-existent rabbit hole on the internet trying to find out what song Billy Ray is singing?
I did the same thing. He made it up.
I think he made it up.
That's what it says.
That's amazing.
Oh, really? Okay.
When
you
that
job, love, do your heart beat?
He's just musing, he singing. Some, maybe it's like one of the songs he's talking about. Yeah, he's great.
He is. He can do it all. Then that musical comedian.
That keyed off that line.
Now we've talked about this line way back, like even in Caddyshack. I think we somehow this line came up, just because we would often bring in other movies and stuff. But yeah, just the idea that there are problematic things in this movie, but I don't think that the Duke's racism is problematic. is problematic. It's we're not on their
playing,
side.
They're playing racist characters.
Yes.
Doing nefarious things.
Right. And the joke here is not that, you know what? He's right.
Not Birth of a Nation.
Very musical. Right. It's not Birth of a Nation.
Not Birth of a Nation.
Right.
Which no one seems to get now. That when someone is racist in a movie, because it was 1983.
Yeah. Oh, you can't say that anymore.
Yeah, you can't say that anymore. Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't have said it then.
You should never say that. You shouldn't. You weren't supposed to say it then. It wasn't cool then.
And the movie is written that way. Yeah.
Right. It wasn't. People in 1983 were like, yeah, you tell them. Black people are really musical across the board, and they can play basketball fantastically.
But when he's saying it, he's very proud of himself. They're very musical people, aren't they?
I didn't read it. Yeah, sort of.
Oh,
yeah.
Very proud of himself.
But
and
I read
he's
it
also
as...
witnessing. But he's also witnessing. He's witnessing it live in the wild. He's almost like in a lab.
He's heard about this
Eddie
on
Murphy
TV
behind like a glass window.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's that frame of mind. The really racist part of it.
Yeah, that's where he's coming from.
Yeah, but it's let's get like the background here. He's in the tub, and he does his little stand-up joke about how he used to fart in the tub when he was a kid to get the jacuzzi bubbles because he was too poor. And then he's singing, and then what's his name comes out? Why can I never remember the butler's name?
Coleman.
Coleman comes out, and they go, what's he doing in there? And he goes, he's singing, sir. And then they go, they're very musical people, aren't they? Well, it wasn't they go. Randolph goes. They're very musical people, aren't they? And it's such a funny line.
But I think Mike's right. He's got such a look of like – it's not just like proud of himself. It's like satisfaction, but it's also like, oh, that's a really beautiful fact of nature, isn't it?
I took it. He likes science. He's interested in this black person the way that super racist people used to be interested back in the day and be like, oh, and say, we'll observe them. And he goes, they're very musical people. He's genuinely
checking it off his checkbox. He's like,
he's genuinely making a observation as a racist guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he loves science, which we know.
He does.
That's a line that Mortimer would not say. Mortimer would just be like, "Arr!"
Yeah, and Mortimer doesn't even care here. He doesn't even react to it. He's like, whatever.
He doesn't care. Mortimer, it's really weird. And yet another movie where one of the bad guys is way worse than the other bad guy.
But usually we're saying that Mortimer's worse because he's just like the traditional. That's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. Okay. He's worse here because.
I don't know.
Wait. Oh, Randolph.
He doesn't care. Randolph is like, oh, hey, you know.
Randolph is trying, but he's going in exactly in the wrong direction.
Right.
And Mortimer's not
he's
even trying.
He's trying. Yeah, exactly.
What's he building in there?
What's he building in there?
So wait. What year did this movie come out?
83.
Okay.
Right.
So this is also the same. So in November of 1983 is when he introduced the James Brown Celebrity Hot Tub on SNL.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. That's a
so
great.
So he's singing. Wow. He's making this up, the song, but he's doing a lot of James Brown effects on it.
What if he got the idea here on the set?
Or he was paying homage to it here. I don't know which one came first.
That's funny.
Right.
Too hot. Remember that. It was great.
And he dips his toe in and then does the scream.
Yeah. The guy comes up with a towel on him.
It's so funny, man.
Do you guys remember as kids, do you remember like farting in the tub and it actually smelled so much worse than a regular not underwater fart?
Yeah, I've thought about this. I don't think it smells worse. It's the contrast of the nice clean tub.
Oh, that might be.
It's the contrast that makes it seem like it smells more. It's an
maybe.
What is the smell version of an optical illusion? It's an olfactory illusion.
Right. Yeah. You're surrounded by like steam and warmth and wetness, so you like imagine your mind is making the fart smell kind of wet and steamy.
That's right. That's right.
Gross.
Speaking of kids, you posted a photo of you and your sister.
Oh yeah, as kids,
A creepy photo.
Yeah, it was creepy. Yeah,
I didn't see that.
That's what happens when you make kids pose for pictures, and
they like just finished a puzzle.
Smile immediately.
It was like a one of us fold pose.
One
of us. Yeah. He's in like a crested blazer.
Yeah, kind of like Billy Ray here. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say actually that him and his blazer with a little with the crest on it and stuff that looked exactly like me in not only that picture but in like first and second grade. I went to a Catholic school, and we had to wear that stuff.
You had to wear a crest in first and second grade?
Yeah. And tie and pants and shoes.
They had to send them to, I'm surprised they went straight to the outfield. He looks like he went to my high school all of a sudden. Same thing for me. I had the tie, the blazer, and all that stuff with the little crest on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where, when you see an adult in a blazer like that, doesn't it sort of look sort of childlike to you?
Yeah,
because of that?
It does. It looks like to me, like you know, like in the old days where they would dress a little boy up in a, it's almost like a little dress, and they paint him. Like when you see like a childhood picture of Winston Churchill or something, and he's just basically dressed like a girl.
And some culottes. Right.
Unbelievable. They have him in a dress.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what's going on?
Yeah. But like we've seen Danny Noonan in a blazer with the crest and everything and stuff. You know, it's a adult thing, but since we went to Catholic school for some period of time, it looks like a kid thing. Like, oh, a kid version of dressing up is putting on a blazer with a crest.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And the exact same tie each time.
I love that.
Yeah, you see it in adulthood, and it's like they've stunted their growth or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which maybe that's the key to my wife has never understood why my dad he bought me a blazer once for like, I don't know, Christmas or birthday.
Yeah.
He's like, why is he buying you a blazer? Why do you have a blue blazer? Who wears a blue blazer? When does that ever happen? I'm like, I don't know. Am I like a weird Eastern kid? I don't know.
Well, you need maybe one. Like everybody needs a sport coat.
Thank you for
maybe
saying
not
that.
A blazer.
You should have a blazer. I can never make
blazer,
a
blazer, though.
I can never make a blazer. I have a couple of like jacket tops that I kind of like, but I can never make them work. They don't really look right or something. Or they match. They're blue and they match my pants too much.
A pattern one. You got to get like a pattern
one. Oh, okay. You got a little.
And this one.
Oh, Mike's got a little pattern, almost like a tweed. Not quite tweed, but it's a little bit of a pattern.
Yeah, so when I was on my trip, I just got back from a trip. I wear the suit during the day.
Okay.
And then for the dinners, I throw this on with some, you know, some lighter pants or some darker
pants.
When
you want
to
cut loose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's darker or lighter, though. That's the point.
A little lighter.
You have to go with like a beige pant or a very dark pant.
Well.
But I problem is I've got like the blue pants and then like a different blue.
Oh.
And I'm like, I can't go around in this. I look like
I went bold. So I wore this with some of these lighter.
Oh.
There you go. That's exactly. You got the beige.
Yeah.
See, that looks all
like
me.
No, this is like a slate gray.
Okay.
And then I wore with some chunky brown dress boots.
That's the fucking divorced dad starter kit right there.
And a shirt, you know, a shirt, no tie. I wore it with like a dark blue shirt. Yeah. I said, hey, what's happening? You show up.
Hey, I'm happening. That's what's happening.
Yeah. I'm happening.
You see, we talked about work all day. Today, this evening, we're going to have a little, we're going to be a little social.
Yeah, we're going with the slate.
Yeah. And you throw you throw a pin on the, you know, you put a pin on or something on the.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Lapel. Well, Starfleet Academy or something. Yeah, I know what you're
saying. It's all has to do with our organization. None of this fake shit.
Did you guys both go through Catholic school, like through high school?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. I didn't. It wasn't Catholic.
Oh, all right.
No, Country Day.
It was right down the street from Mike's school.
Yeah, it was less than a mile away.
We didn't even really know each other.
You didn't know each other until like after college or after high school?
No, no. We met. We covered this 1,000 times.
I know. But
we met the summer.
Funny story though.
The summer after, well, you Dan was a year is a year behind younger than me, right?
Yeah.
You graduated what, 92?
93.
So 2 years. So I graduated in 91. I played Legion baseball, American Legion baseball that summer. So I had already graduated high school. That's when I met Dan that summer. And it was.
I was probably 16.
Yeah, you were 16. Yeah, I was 17. I was turning 17 or 18 that summer.
Yeah. So, and just for context, it's an 18 and under league.
Yeah.
Okay.
So being a 16 year old, you're kind of you're definitely way on the younger end of it.
Yeah. Skill based.
Kind of. Yeah. So it's like, but I could still hang as a 16 year old. I was good.
He wasn't making any friends. Even
was it like a fucking Mud Honey T-shirt or something?
No. You had a Primus T-shirt on.
Was Primus?
You had your under your jersey. You had a Primus, and under mine, I had a Buffalo Tom T-shirt.
I had just got into the Jerry was a race car driver.
Yeah,
drove so goddamn fast.
And I talked to him in the parking lot. That was a big mistake. I said, "Listen, asshole.
Now look at us.
There's nothing but jarheads as far as the eye can see in this parking lot." You'd best try to make a friend or two.
Yeah, I didn't understand that there wasn't going to be anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, "Hey, great t-shirt." I'm like, "Hey, what's it to you?"
He goes, "Yeah, see exactly what he said." He goes, "What's it to you?" I was like, "All right."
Who wants
then.
To know?
Yeah. What's it to you? I was in a mean phase at the baseball. I was very competitive, and I'm like, "I don't fuck around. I don't make friends.
You're not my friend.
I kick asses. I don't make friends. Get out of here."
His nickname was Jackie Kick Asses. And then I said, "Okay, fine, fuck off then." And I had to go back and talk to the jarhead on the team that the only band he was listening to was Blackjack McDowell's band, who was a pitcher for the White Sox.
Oh yeah,
and he was in a pop band, and that spread through the dugout like wildfire.
Oh, no band that ever, no band from someone else who's famous for some other reason is ever good.
No,
yeah,
hardly ever.
No.
There probably are some examples out there.
There was like some interview, I think Howard Stern played it or something, of like Billy Bob Thornton getting mad at like an interviewer because he referred to his like band as like a hobby or something, or as like a side thing or something. It's like
it's a guy, it's wouldn't... a Canadian interviewer. I've listened to this interview.
I bet.
Some guy that interviews for the CBC or whatever.
Yeah.
And he it's a guy, he's a very
they're very musical people.
The guy that it's interviewing has like a really, he's like a very how am I trying to say this? He's knowledgeable and he's a very good interviewer. He's kind of like this really, and he's really trying, and he asks him and he says something about it being a hobby or something, or about not a hobby, but he says like, "So how did you?" The way he was phrasing the question, all about how he's the guy that, you know, so what did Billy Bob decide? You know, go with a band. You know, it's like one of those things. And Billy Bob gets so mad about it. And Billy Bob's such an asshole in this interview. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Like a very quiet asshole. Like he's like just like quietly
The Boxmasters. That's the name of his band, The Boxmasters.
The Boxmasters. Just these guys.
I'll
and the other guys are like sitting there just frozen in like fear because like, you know, you're not supposed to cross Billy Bob. And Billy Bob's living in that world where he's like trying to pretend he's normal and everyone else has to be afraid of him. And it's one of those weird Stepford situations where like no one can say anything. And it's just like, and you're just like, "Billy Bob, dude, get some self-awareness, please.
Have some
like,
fun.
What's wrong with you? You are a movie star. I'm sorry." Yeah.
He's one of those guys, and that we talk about this all the time about like bands or actors or whoever, people we know are assholes, so we can't like them. He's somebody I really, really like as an actor. He's always interesting to watch, always kind of fun.
Always
but I know he's such a douchebag.
He's
but
a
that,
massive
does, that doesn't interfere
douchebag.
With me liking him.
Yeah, and I like him too. That's the thing. I like him.
Film he's good.
Yeah.
So bad. Oh, well, anyway, you got to listen to this interview. Incidentally, totally incidentally, is that interviewer eventually was Me Too'd.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
In part by...
other people who have had to interview Billy Bob
Thornton. Speaking of a brilliant director, what the... oh, God, I feel bad that I can't remember her name. There's a movie called Sweet Hereafter she was in. She's Canadian.
Oh, sure.
Polly...
Polly.
Sarah Polly.
Yeah.
Sarah Polly came out, so like there was this story about it, or all these women came out, and the interviewer, who's a fairly interesting guy, was Me Too'd.
Oh, no. That sucks.
I think the interviewer himself might have been in a band. But anyway, she, Sarah Polly, great director, by the way, has made a bunch of great movies.
Yeah, we like her. She was a kid actor.
Fantastic.
Now she's super
kid
cool.
Actor turned great director.
She's
in a much better version than Ron Howard, and you'll never hear about it.
Right, exactly.
She's a thousand times more talented than Ron Howard, but all you hear about is fucking Opie.
Yeah. Opie gets an Oscar. Look at him go. Well, David Lynch.
Check out her movie Away From Her.
Yeah,
the
Boxmasters' biggest claim to fame is that their singer is Oscar winner Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, right. No one. I don't know. Name your favorite Boxmaster.
Which one's the George? Yeah. Which one's the Ringo?
Was it on QTV?
Yeah.
Maybe.
That was it.
Yeah, look at it. Now
it's
you
a good.
See, I'm just...
I'll send it.
Yeah. And they just show the other guys just like looking down at their shoes. They're like,
yeah, they're both just like, they don't know how to answer. They don't want to answer. And they answer the questions really. They're like, oh, we just got into the studio and it really kind of came together and we're excited about it and everything. And they're like, Billy, what, you know, when did you find time to get into the studio? I was like, find time? What do you mean find time?
Right.
Why wouldn't I be able to find time?
I don't know. You're like
and
an
you're
actor.
Like,
everybody knows your
and the
movies.
Guy's like, yeah. The guy goes, it's just that, I was asking because blah, blah, blah. He's trying
you're
to be really
actor,
like
asshole.
Magnanimous about it.
Yeah.
So funny. And he's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like if you were talking to Keanu Reeves and said, you know, how about your band? Yeah. When do you find the time? I'm sure you'd say, well, you know, I do this, I do that.
Yeah.
He knows it's
great to stretch, do different stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
If I interviewed Billy Bob, I'd be like, oh my God, this is great. You're one of my favorite musicians. I heard that you do some acting as well.
Yeah.
And you can see if you could recreate that interview the opposite way. Like, when do you find time to act? Find time?
I heard you played the R-worded guy in Sling Blade.
Yeah. What was your line in that?
Mm-hmm. Season 1 of Fargo. Dan, have you watched all of Fargo yet, the TV show? Season 1 of that.
Will do. I have not watched it yet, but it's on my list very much, and I don't know what the hell.
All right. What else? What else we got?
No, there was something. There's just two ceramic dogs behind them.
Yeah, one's looking one way, one's looking
they're
the other
just
way.
Weird. One's looking one way, one's looking the other way, and they're like, what do you want from me?
And then, Mortimer says, Coleman's like, what do I do with his clothes? You're like, yo, send him to the laundry. He'll need to have something to wear back to the ghetto when we're
to
done.
The ghetto.
And I'm like, wait, that's I've not heard that word in a long time. Do we still use the word
ghetto? It's weird how it's become electrified or something. Like, you can't, what's the word I'm looking for? It's
like
a bad word.
It kind of is. It's a...
but I don't really know why.
I don't know what word
really
is taking its place. How do you refer to... I'm sure
I
recognize it.
No, I actually heard that, and I found this in some work partnership stuff. It's like even the word urban is considered not a good word to use.
Right.
So you use metropolitan instead of urban, because urban would be another.
Words don't mean the same thing.
They kind of don't.
Right.
How about cosmopolitan?
Metropolitan. Well, we'll have to have cosmopolitan mean what metropolitan used to mean.
How about continental?
Yeah. I have a joke about a guy in my backyard. Like, we're hanging out, a bunch of comics in my backyard, and he's my friend's hanging out. He's a black guy, and he keeps using the N-word in my backyard.
No, God.
Except for I have these. He doesn't sound. He sort of
sounds
like
you. Sounds like you saying it.
He sounds like me. And we have these high fences in my backyard.
Oh,
the neighbors, I'm just like, what the fuck, dude?
You can't do that to me.
But he's like, I can say that. I'm like, you gotta flavor it up a little bit if you're gonna say it.
You can't anonymously say it.
Put in some context.
Yeah, right.
Speaking as a black man.
Yeah.
Just preface
but
it.
But I say in the joke, I go, look, you're not supposed to say that someone quote unquote sounds white.
Right.
But let's just say he doesn't sound quote unquote obviously urban.
Can't say
that's
that
what
either.
I say.
No, it has to be metropolitan, Dan. You gotta
now I have to say metropolitan.
I guess any word that becomes commonly associated with something like that, it'll get stale or start to become like a negative term or something, and it'll you have to keep switching it up, it seems like.
But where does it how far does it go?
It's called the euphemism treadmill.
That's right.
Yeah. A guy, some writer named it, or it might have been Steven Pinker. Do you know that guy?
I've heard the name.
Anyway, I think he dubbed it the euphemism treadmill, where it's something will become out of date and will seem like a bad word, and they'll just replace it, and then that one will just get replaced.
Yeah,
it's just an endless
treadmill
of that you're cycling through.
Like queer seems to have come back around.
Yeah, queer's good again.
Yeah, well, queer's
was positive. You could
queer
say it
was negative. Yeah, now they've owned it and it's positive. But I wonder
it used
if
to
it'll
be like,
back
hey, look
again,
at all them queers over there. Be horrible.
Yeah.
Right. But then now you're like, hey, look.
Now it's part of the official label. Yeah.
I was in Reading recently, met a table of queer people. It took us to the bar. We had a great time. Right.
Well, it's in the acronym. People. It's at the end of the acronym. It's the Q.
Right.
It's not the
end. I sent you guys the photo.
It's not the end at all. No, it's getting longer.
It's not
and longer.
The end, my friend. We have just begun.
That's the acronym. That's the train that's the train car that's going to keep going. But I just sent you. I'm going to say this for the fifth time, and I'm going to try to get it out. I just sent you guys the photo of the two boxmasters just looking down.
Looking down.
Oh,
my
God.
It's really funny.
It's to your phone.
It's really funny.
Because they're trying to talk their way out of Billy Bob's blow up. They both have the same glasses, same
God.
And they're just
we just want to be in a band.
Yeah,
we're getting
trying to put a band with this.
And they're
asshole.
Like, we have to be in a band with this guy because he's bankrolling everything.
Yeah, exactly. We're in a band with a movie star. That's why people know about us. Yeah. It's like he's the thing. But oh my God!
Anytime we get out of line, he reminds us that he was in Tombstone.
Yeah, we're yeah, exactly. He's like, anytime we say anything, he's like, yeah, I banged Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, talk
she
to the Oscar.
She carried around a vial of my blood around her neck.
God, those are the days. Remember those weirdos?
Those weirdos, assholes.
Those heady days when you cared about those two.
I don't like. You watch this interview. It is. If you watch this interview, he is being such a child. It is impossible to like him.
It's like Shatner levels. Yeah.
It's Shatner. It's worse than Shatner. Shatner's got
at least
Shatner's bit of
being
like,
a dick. Shatner's like,
You know, Billy Bob's like, there's nothing wrong with me. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. You know, failed.
Like,
suddenly,
shut up,
interviewer. Oh my God.
Yeah. Here's his face.
Oh my God. It's so funny. I love all these interviews where things go wrong. It's so great. I watched those. That's probably why I watched it, because I was watching a few of those where I'm like,
it's just
watching it where the interview just goes sideways.
Yeah.
It's usually like the person is on a doing a press junket and they're doing a bunch of interviews and they're getting really tired
and
angry
exhausted,
about their movie and exhausted, and someone asks a dumbass question, some really dumb question about it.
Yeah,
owning a gym.
Owning a gym. What, do you need a workout?
Picture of Billy Bobby just said.
Fuck are you? Well, the best of all that, and Tom should watch it. Even I think we've sent it to Tom. Was the Tommy Lasorda, the coach of the Dodgers?
Oh my
God! Yeah.
And the guy's
it's
like,
so
"What do you
good.
Mean?" He's, "What do you mean?"
He's got multiple. What do you think? Was it Kingman's performance?
Kingman's performance. That would
They go, hey, what do you think of Kingman's performance? It's Kingman was the other team, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of Kingman's performance today? He's like, "What did I think of his performance? Really? What did I think of his performance?
He hit three home runs.
Seven runs. What do I think of his? What do you think of his fucking performance?"
There was another one
like that.
There was another one though that was even worse. Like he
Lasorda's great, man.
And the guy just starts laughing because it's.
Yeah, it's
He's
so
like,
funny.
Because I walked into this.
My job.
Because it's a little bit of it is done a little humorously. You could tell even Lasorda is kind of being funny when he does it. There's another one, Lee Elia.
Oh, the Cubs.
Complaining about the Cubs fans, like getting booed by the Cubs fans during the day, and he's like, because it was before they had night games at Wrigley Field. He's like, what do these people
jobs.
Do for? What do these people do? What are they even doing there?
He's in fucking jobs.
Where do they go all this
they have
time?
Jobs? What are they doing there on a Tuesday afternoon booing my team? They're giving their all. I know what my guys are doing. They're at work. What are these buff people doing? It's great.
That's incredible.
Oh, man.
Wow. I just had one more notice that Lewis and Penelope, I think, had sex in this room. This is the room where like they were both getting naked a few minutes ago.
Is that the same room?
I believe it is. It's got the piano
with the dogs.
And the fireplace and the little dogs one going one way.
That is a very interesting. But, you know, it does make sense that you would kind of – why not just reuse a room if you've got a sets and things?
I mean, it's all Lewis's house, so it makes, you know.
But where's Lewis right now?
He's where is he right now?
So they're bringing him to Lewis's house while Lewis is still in the picture.
He's at work.
He's probably at work.
Wait, that's a
great
question.
He's got like hundreds of checks to sign.
Wait a minute. What's the sequence of events?
House.
He he went. He must be at work because it's like a new day now. Like
they haven't taken him down yet.
They don't have to explain.
Oh, so yeah, and then later on, we'll see him try to get home, and his key doesn't work, et cetera, et cetera.
They're just doing it in the middle of the day while he's at work. Yeah, that seems reasonable.
That doesn't.
But that is a good question, though. But you know that room seemed a lot more spacious. But I'd have to go back and check. But that's
might just be because it was dark. I guess we should go back and look at that. We'll get our forensics team on this. How do you guys feel about trivia?
Yeah,
all right. Apparently.
It doesn't matter how I feel about it. The music's
playing. Since the music's going, there's no way out. Yeah, we're done.
There's no way out of it. Once you're in, you're in.
All right. Six questions from the Trivial Pursuit Hollywood Flicks edition from 1989. What did Fast Eddie start wearing to help his return to pool in The Color of Money? I've never seen this movie.
There was
a hat.
No. In The Color of Money, glasses.
Oh my God, you're right. That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Horn rim glasses.
Pretty good movie.
Was that an affectation, or was that like, oh, I'm older and now I need glasses?
I think he needed.
I think he's very cool, and so he felt a little weird about it.
Okay. Kind of like Kirk in Star Trek 2.
I watched it not that long ago. Good movie. No, nowhere as good as the original, The Hustler. Fabulous movie.
I'm not sure I've seen either. Does that make me a bad person?
No. You know, as I've said before, I have no expectations that other people have seen all of the same movies that I have, and I never overreact to someone not seeing a movie.
Thank you.
I find that obnoxious. And in fact, I salute you for never having seen it.
I never will now, because I want Dan.
Check out The Hustler. That is a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Next question.
One of my favorite movies. Anyway,
Mike wants to move along. What does Polly add to Bedbug Eddie's coffee to poison him in The Pope of Greenwich Village?
Never saw it.
Never saw it either.
Didn't
I just know
see
that
the Pope.
What's his name gets his thumb cut off.
You've never seen The Pope of... What?
No.
You've never seen it?
What's the matter with you? We're stopping everything right now. Come here. Come over to my place. We're going to watch it. I'll explain
what?
It to you.
Pope of Greenwich Village.
Let's say
good?
Rat poison.
That sounds good. That is not the answer, though. Dan, do you want to take a shot at it?
Retina. Fill your bagpipes with retina.
Sorry. Give me the question again.
What does Polly add to Bedbug Eddie's coffee to poison him in The Pope of Greenwich Village?
Ooh, Bedbug Eddie. I'm going to go with one of those. It's a kind of an anti-pest because he's a bedbug.
Oh, maybe that's interesting.
Maybe Raid. I'm going to go with Raid.
Though neither of these is the right answer. The correct answer is Lye. He puts lye in it.
What is lye?
I don't know.
They put it on the
like
bodies.
Dangerous thing.
Right?
Or is that lime?
That's lime. I'm sorry.
Lye is like a corrosive sort of thing, isn't
right.
it?
Right. It's used to make soap.
And Bedbug Eddie is played by Pauly from Rocky.
Is that true?
Oh, the now recently deceased.
Oh, yeah.
Burt Young.
Burt Young, yeah.
I don't want that
Burt
to be his
Young.
Name, but it is.
Yeah, I don't want him to be Burt Young. I want to be Pauly.
Yeah, I want to be Pauly. He was
I
in,
love Burt Young.
He was in Back to School.
Chinatown.
And Chinatown.
Love Burt Young.
You can't eat the blinds. I just had him installed Wednesday.
Mr. Gitz, I'm sorry. I'll get you the money.
What section of New York City does the brother from another planet live in? I have seen this movie.
Brother? I'm going to go with the Bronx.
Movie. The Bronx or Harlem? It is Harlem.
Oh,
you ever see that movie?
Harlem.
John Sayles
I thought
movie.
They wanted a borough.
No.
See, if they asked borough, you just say Manhattan, and it gives the wrong impression.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, it must be Upper East Side, Madison Avenue.
It's a story about an alien who takes over Wall Street.
Just a very rich black man who lives in the Upper East Side.
Who complained that the camel he had to ride in Jewel of the Nile had the worst breath he'd ever smelled? I'm going to say it's one of the stars of Jewel of the Nile.
I'm gonna go with Michael Douglas.
Did somebody say Danny DeVito?
I did, of course.
They should have. It was Mike. Yes, it was Danny DeVito. Well done. I hope you're ashamed.
Man, that's amazing. That's the worst breath he's ever smelled, and yet he's been married to Rhea Perlman.
I'm sorry. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Go with Arnold Schwarzenegger instead. He's in a movie with Arnold.
I shouldn't have said that. She's lovely.
We've had two questions now that have reminded me of the movie Barbie because there's a big thing about the guys mansplaining The Godfather to someone who said that she's never seen it, and there was also Rhea Perlman's in it. So
Wait. Can I? I'm sorry, but I got to stop you there.
Yeah.
speaking of euphemisms that have gotten completely out of control.
Yes.
Can you wait? So someone has never seen The Godfather,
right?
And they're mansplaining it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's
but isn't
that sounds like you can't mansplain something that someone's never seen. Point of mansplaining is that you wrote The Godfather. You were part of the writing team that wrote it, and you're a woman. Right,
exactly.
And some guy is trying to tell that woman what The Godfather is.
Yes. Let me clarify.
That was the original idea.
This is right, not the fault of the movie. I expressed it wrong. Is the somebody who – the joke somebody, is that – yeah, go ahead, Mike.
No, go ahead. I'll just –
all right, I'll
take a ticket like I'm at the deli. You go ahead.
All right. My now serving 31.
So I'll talk to you in a couple months.
The Barbies are trying to get the Kens distracted and stuff, and so they one way of doing that is say, "Oh, I've never seen The Godfather," and the Kens freak out. "Oh my, you've never seen The Godfather? It's amazing." They explain it to them and everything.
So they don't actually call it mansplaining.
They do not. No.
They just have a thing where the guy likes to talk about The Godfather, which is a fair point, by the way.
Yes, that is totally fair. Okay. That's the point that you're trying to get at by getting mad at people who haven't seen movies.
The movie has not misused mansplaining. Tommy has misused
it. I have. I am wrong once again. I apologize.
Number 99? Number 99.
Number 99? 99.
I left the deli.
Oh, he 100.
Left. I left.
All right. I'll get my lamb chops elsewhere. Thank you. I'm sorry, Mike.
Hey, what Billy Crystal movie?
Hey, we can
movie?
See the answers.
What?
Yeah, put the card
can
down.
See the answers.
What Billy Crystal movie, Mr. Saturday Night? Next.
I wish that was the answer. That'd be fun. What Billy Crystal movie did MGM call Beverly Hills Cop in Chicago? I know the answer to this, even though I never
Running
saw the movie.
Running Scared.
That's right. Running Scared.
Nice. Yeah.
With Gregory Hines.
They made a big deal of the interracial kiss in that movie.
Oh, really? Wait, did they kiss each other? Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines? That's awesome.
Gregory Hines had a sex scene with some white woman in that one. And there was
I thought you were going to say that Billy Crystal kissed a non-Jew.
Oh, jeez.
Not on my watch. what two co-stars wrote the screenplay for Ghostbusters? That's easy.
Harold Ramis.
Yes.
And Dan Aykroyd.
That's right. Ding, ding, ding. Trivia, or we could do another card. It's up to you guys.
Do another card.
We always do the two cards now. Is this going to be
know.
Standard?
It's kind of fun.
Let's discuss this. Well, then why wouldn't three cards be even more fun?
You got a point there. You got a point, Dan.
We'll have a whole show of trivia one time.
Okay, let's get right through it.
That'd be
what sex therapist made her film debut in the French comedy
Dr. Ruth
One Woman
West
or
West
Two? Of course, the answer is Dr. Ruth Westmore.
There is one more though. What's her name? Joyce. Something. There was
Brothers.
One other.
Joyce Brothers.
Joyce Brothers.
Yeah, she was on all
but
the
But it's
going
to be Dr. Ruth in this
Oh, was
case.
She a sex therapist or was she just a psychiatrist?
Joyce Brothers might have just been a psychiatrist.
Dr. Joyce. Yeah. I know. I think she had a little. I don't know. You got continue.
Okay. Mike's going to get to the bottom of this. What animals are featured in a 1985 movie starring Glenda Jackson and Ben Kingsley? If the answer is turtles, I'm not going to know why I know things. I don't know. I don't even know what movie they're talking about, but I have the image of turtles in my head. The answer is turtles. I don't know how my brain works. That is strange that I know the answer to that.
That's amazing, Tommy. Yeah. You really have a gift.
I guess it's a gift. I don't know.
About what I have no idea.
What Sylvester Stallone flick did Us Magazine call the worst of 1986?
Say it again.
Cobra.
What Sylvester Stallone flick?
No. Stop, stop or my mom will shoot.
Was that 86?
Just want to say and look
Rocky.
At the card.
Do you want
Rocky.
Me to look at the card?
Rocky
I don't know.
Three.
I want to say Over the Top.
I'm thinking Stopper My Mom.
That is
shoot.
A stupid
Oh, we are
movie.
All wrong. It is Cobra.
I said Cobra first.
Oh, you did
he
say
did,
Cobra?
He did.
Oh,
he did.
Well done, Dan.
Boom, nailed it.
Officer Cobretti.
Remember that one? Yeah. Cobra. What? Because they gave it away in the question. They were like, What movie or what reviewer said this movie did lacked bite or something?
Yeah,
they gave away the thing.
No, coiled around failure. Or
right, I'm holding up my deli ticket.
Spits venom of terrible.
Oh yes,
all 99. Over the audience.
99 wants to get his chops.
Okay.
No, I heard an interview with Schwarzenegger and they were talking about how him and Sylvester were rivals in the 80s.
Yeah.
Each wanted to be bigger. Each wanted to have more muscles. Each wanted to shoot with bigger guns, kill more people in their movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he read for they gave him the script for Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, He says, "What script is just terrible, terrible script." He said so. He said so. I knew that. He goes, "The one way I could get Stallone to do it would call Stallone." I called him up and said, "You know what? I'm reading the script and I'm thinking I'm going to do in this movie."
That's so good.
And then he said he called up his agent.
That's how you wind up as governor.
I want that movie. So Stallone wanted that movie to take it away from. So Joyce Brothers was a family and personal relationship, and she became famous in 1955.
Personal.
For winning the top prize on the American game show, the $64,000 question. So she won the top prize on that just as an unknown.
Yeah.
And then she became famous for that. And her fame from the game show allowed her to go on to host various advice columns and television shows.
It's like Ken Jennings.
So popular. Sort of, right. So it was like popular psychology. She brought it. She normalized psychology.
Pop psychology.
Good for her. I like that.
Good for Dr. Joyce Brothers.
I would be curious to find out
Dr. Ruth's still with us, by the way, at 95.
Are you kidding?
Old. Go ahead. Wow. Yes.
Holy smokes.
And her spouse was Milton Brothers, which sounds like a game.
It does, yeah.
Like Milton Brothers.
It says here that Dr. Ruth attributes her longevity to a good hard wet humping every day.
Kind of like Ernest Borgnine.
That's nice.
With Ernest Borgnine.
With Ernest Borgnine. On the days when he can't masturbate all the time.
A stiff rogering from Ernest Borgnine. Once a week.
When Borgnine dies, she's like, "I'm toast."
And he wears his candy.
Find a Borgnine. Look, everyone who looks like Ernest Borgnine is a woman.
And he wears his taxi hat from Escape from New York.
You got it, Duke.
I know you. You're the Duke.
He had a personalized license plate that said Borgnine.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's Borg, beautiful. and then the number 9.
Star Trek fan. What highly hyped sex symbol starred with Orson Welles and Stacy Keach in 1982's Butterfly?
Jesus.
Highly hyped sex symbol. 1982.
Raquel Welch.
Farrah Fawcett.
That's my guess.
Oh, gosh. Ooh, those are both really great guesses. I don't know what I'm going to say. I got to say something else.
TJ Hooker.
I don't. It's not gonna be like Bo Derek or something. I'll say Bo Derek just to be.
Bo Derek's a great guess.
Yeah. Oh God. That's a great Pia guess. Zadora.
Oh wow.
Remember Pia Zadora?
Pia Zadora, I believe, was in the Mystery Science Theater. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Oh, you're kidding? She's in that? That sounds
familiar.
Like
a 6-year-old girl.
Yeah.
She's still alive.
That's fantastic.
Is she?
She better be. If you're a highly hyped sex symbol in 1982, that means you're kind of young in 82, so you shouldn't be dead yet.
Butterfly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she was a little older in 82, right?
I guess.
She was born in 1954, 20? So she's 69 now.
Huh. Oh, high five.
Still young.
What 1987 Michael J. Fox movie was hyped with the line, "When your family is closing you in, music may be the only way out"?
I know that one.
Oh, is that Light of Day?
That Bright Lights, Big City? Or Light of Day.
Bright
Light
Lights of Day, Big City. Light of Day.
That's going to be Light of Day.
Yeah, with Joan Jett, right?
With Joan Jett, and they wrote a song for it, right?
Yeah.
Light of Day.
Exactly. That's exactly how I know that.
And they're like, "Hello, Cleveland."
Light of Day. Yeah, they shot in Cleveland, yeah. What 1984 farce cast Steve Guttenberg as police cadet Carrie Mahoney?
Oh,
I guess we all know that.
Police Academy.
Right. I'm not even looking at the back of the card, but right.
Mahoney.
And that was trivia. They made like six of them.
Yeah, they made more than
every movie, the soft-talking female cop gets one of the criminals down on the ground and screams to the top of her lungs, "Don't freeze, dirtbag."
Freeze, dirtbag.
She spends the entire movie barely, nobody can hear her. Cause she
okay.
And all the gay the jokes about the Blue Oyster Bar.
Blue Oyster Cult.
Every time.
Blue Oyster Bar.
I just looked up Pia Zadora, and I find it a little disturbing. With all due respect to still living Mrs. Zadora, sex symbol, I'm not getting. It's just very weird because she sort of looks perpetually like a kid.
That's
and it's a little weird, and she's not. I have to say, it's kind of hard to place as like a sex symbol. It's very strange if you look.
She
at the
looks
picture, like,
a lot like.
At what point? It's like her as a kid.
Yeah,
he's right. Like, it says actress and baby faced sex symbol. That's how
it's a little odd, to be honest.
That's super odd.
And
yeah.
She says, "I don't consider myself a sex symbol."
Yeah, because you're a kid.
She looks like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. She's got that kind of.
She does
like,
look like Linda Blair, yeah.
Yeah, baby face. Yeah.
With sexy results. Yeah.
Anyway.
Way to go, Orson Welles and Stacey Keach.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, a great mystery science theater to watch this holiday.
That's the one you were talking about, right?
It's very good.
Right.
It's one of the best ones.
Whatever holiday you choose.
What Simpsons was that from when Homer was ending everything with sexy results?
Oh, no. That was, I think that was Marge. She was taking notes on a soap opera or something. Yeah.
With sexy results.
And you saw her in her notes. She'd like underlined with sexy results or
no,
something.
I don't think so. I think you're wrong.
I think sexy I might be right, but we'll see. Next time. I guess that's it for minute 31, right? We're moving on? Yeah. We're together on this? It's been good. It's been good fun. I've enjoyed myself with you fellas, and I hope everybody else has too. All that remains to do is to thank our beautiful patrons, of which we have one more. You've probably heard his
Mark
name
Campbell.
Popping up. We've got our buddy Captain America. We've got fantastic Mark Campbell. And our new buddy, Mark Captain Mattis, America. Is over there. Joining us.
Mark Mattis. Thank you, Mark.
And again,
about,
that is not all
Mavora?
The people who are over there. We've got other people over there, but they are not ponying up to the point where we say their names. We speak their names on the air. But
we
these three gentlemen... These three super fans.
What do I have to? Do we have to do anything else other than mentioning their names?
No. We just have to remind people to go to patreon.com/ditchdiggers and choose whatever level you want to support us at, if any at all. You can give us $1, or you can give us more and get stuff like early access to the show, or get your name read on the air each time, or get postcards from us or something. Who knows? Who knows? It's a whole.
Well, he's ponying up enough money. To where he gets his name mentioned on the show, but we never say how we're going to mention it. So I'd just like to say, get bent, Mark Mattis.
Yeah, up yours.
Bob Gresham.
Thinking of buying our friendship. What's the matter
with
you?
A big shout out to, a little under the radar contributor.
Yes.
Doesn't want to go through the normal channels, kind of does everything.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Off the record, under the table. And with a non-IRS.
He doesn't want his wife finding out that he's a fan of the show.
He deals in he's cement and contracting. Let's just say that.
Sure. Understood.
Wink, Mr. Will Yurkevich.
We speak your name, Will.
We speak
Thank
your
you.
Name. Who also went to he also wore the blazer and went to the school.
Yes.
He went to your
that's
school.
That's
right. I bet he's
from
our
I'll tell you quick story. Let's get right through it. Will Yurkevich is the older brother of my friend Emily Yurkevich, who is the person who walked up to me one day in high school and said, I heard you like the Violent Femmes.
Oh.
And I'm like, I do. And she's like, you want to be in my band?
Whoa.
And I was like, I don't know how to play anything, any instruments. And she goes, that's okay. You can be the bass player.
And you had a Rickenbacker bass, right?
And I wound up with the bass and then a Rickenbacker bass and then guitars. And I've had an entire lifetime of music.
Wow.
Because
just
of
that
Emily
one interaction.
Yurkevich.
Well, see what that's happens beautiful. when you're
my
nice to people?
Still.
When you're nice to people, when they walk up to you and say, oh, nice
yeah.
shirt.
Yeah, so what's it to you?
Yeah, what's it to you? Well,
although,
okay,
to be fair
off,
to
then.
Dan, he was a jerk to you, but now you guys are lifelong friends. So it could work
yeah,
both
to be
ways.
Fair, it's, yeah, I've paid really no price there when you
right.
think about
it. It works either
I
way.
I could be a dick anytime I want. That's the lesson I've learned.
I think that's a lesson for all of our listeners, too. Just be a jerk or be a nice person. It makes no difference.
A couple years ago, a woman was entering the department store right after me, and I didn't hold the door.
Oh, yeah?
And she goes, hey, what gives? You know, and I go, fuck you, Grandma. And we're still friends to this day. That's nice.
Call her old bag.
Get a Christmas card every year. That's beautiful.
I said, fuck you. You look like Pia Zadora.
Yeah.
And
Pia
she
Zadora
goes, I never. And then we still exchange Christmas cards every year now.
That's beautiful.
We're close friends. So
that's
it's
touching.
Beautiful.
Like
there's
it.
A black and white photo of Dan with a Rickenbacker bass, and he's got his leg up against the wall. And a.
Ooh.
It's cool, man. That's my band, the Spam
yeah,
Dancers.
Super cool.
The Spam Dancers. It was a total, like, yeah, he's got an army jacket on.
Let's start a Patreon tier where people get a poster of that.
Oh, my God. A big blow up of that one.
Yeah. We'll find that one.
Yeah.
Find that guy.
Find that guy.
You know what
Jerry.
To do.
By the way, I saw Jerry at Thanksgiving.
Oh, you did?
Wait, I saw
Jerry.
Him.
This is the actual Jerry.
The Jerry from the Howard Stern show.
Ask him
find
if
that guy. His name's actually Harry.
Nemesis
yeah,
of Eric the Midget.
Yeah. I saw him for like 5 minutes. He stopped by.
Wow, that's nice.
And I go, find that guy named Jerry.
Now, does he get sick of that? Does he get sick
no.
of those references?
No,
he
likes
it?
That's his claim to fame. He
that's
loves the
great.
Attention. He loved Eric. He played poker with Eric.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Oh, beautiful. Wait, so they okay. wait? Did they have a reconciliation later in life, or
I don't
was it
think
always
so.
Sort of like
I think
a, not
it was,
that much of a? adversarial thing.
Yeah, it might have been where it's like he made an appearance, and then Jerry showed up, and then he's like, "I'm Jerry," and they're like, "Oh," and then maybe they got back together.
I know
together
what to do. Yeah,
you know what to do.
All right, since someone knows what we're talking about, let's wrap this up. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Minute 31 of the Trading Places Minute. And please come back next time for Minute 32 of Trading Places here on the same show that I just mentioned, the Trading Places Minute.
With a big boner.
It was a stone groove, my man. You are the most righteous.
Yeah, right. Just get the fuck out, man. Let's go. Shit.